Sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Well, it doesn't get much sportsier than the World Series. That cranks up tonight. And a lot of other stuff. Let's do this. It's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Tuesday, bitches. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon. A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart. Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort. If you want to get in, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. Send a message. If he likes it, Aaron will read it. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R. At AJ is the real. At Aaron is Blitzed. At Degenerates975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. And because we're back in studio today, you can also watch us on Twitch. Go to ESPN975.com and click on Twitch, or go to Twitch and look for ESPN975. And there we are, wearing Astros hats. One of us has one on forward, one of us has one on backwards. I don't know if that means we're going to have opposite predictions or anything, but there you go. And Aaron's wearing his Astros shirt. So if you're watching on the...
It's an Astros hat, too.
Okay, I can't see from
the Apollo hat.
Full-blown jersey going.
Yeah.
Is there a number on the back of that?
Nope.
Okay. Does it say Raybold on the back?
Nope.
Blank back.
Blank back.
Okay. How old are you?
30. About to be 31.
Okay.
So it's still okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think it, well, opinion, because like every year for our anniversary, I get the wife a different jersey with her name on the back with whatever year we've been married. So
what's it say? Val?
The Val, because, you know, she's really cocky. But, like last year, I got her a Raptors jersey when they won the title. So she has a Raptors 10 jersey for 10th anniversary. I got her an Astros one the year they won. I get her Saskatchewan Rough Riders jersey. So she's pretty much got all of them. I mean, is that weird or is that, you know, a cool thing? I don't know. She likes them, but, you know, I'm not a jersey guy.
I mean, if she likes them, then that's all that matters.
Okay. But I mean, I don't think it's weird for women to wear jerseys. I think it's weird for grown men.
Yeah, like for women, it's kind of cute. I guess it's acceptable.
Yeah, yeah. Plus, especially Astros colors. I've said this before. I don't know what it is about Astros colors on a woman.
You like that, huh?
Yeah, it's worth at least 3 points.
Okay.
If you're a four,
that's a lot of points.
I'm telling you, if you're a four, you're a seven.
What was that? What would the girl yesterday have been that had the cop pull over in the stolen car? If she was wearing an Astros jersey,
she'd be a three. Okay. You know, the blue one though.
Okay,
because some people,
I think
some people can pull off the white and it helps.
Oh, I thought you meant the orange.
No, the orange actually is orange. It surprisingly looks good on women.
Okay,
but the blue looks really good. So just, you know, public service announcement: if you're a solid four and you want to be a seven, get you a blue Astros jersey or a blue Astros shirt with the orange in it, but the blue is the main color. Just my humble opinion. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in on the HRMP listener line, since we're here in studio, you can do that. So a lot going on. I guess we can. Can I say one thing about last night's game?
Sure.
The star of the fantasy football season so far, the New England Patriots defense. They have carried me in my money league.
They are monsters.
But, I mean, that game was ugly. I quit watching when it was 24-0, because somebody wanted to watch Canadian election coverage last night, so I had to sit there and do that. Yeah, boy, it's really you think our election coverage is bad? It was just awful.
Yeah.
So we've got Nova Scotia in, and it looks like the Liberals are going to win a few seats there. Eh? Oh, great! Yeah,
like a bunch of hosers.
Oh, geez, wait till we get out west, though. That's where the Conservatives are going to do well.
Until you get to the far west, and then those Vancouver kids.
Vancouver. It's so funny. I have a lot of family and friends in Saskatchewan and Alberta, obviously, and they were so mad because the Liberals, basically, a minority government, but they won, and they all hate that, and they're all like, hey, we want to be part of the United States.
Wait, this is your family?
Well, some of them, yeah.
Because okay. Your wife is very liberal.
Yeah, but most of the people in Saskatchewan and Alberta are very conservative. Okay. Alberta wants to be Texas.
It's like the Midwest.
Yeah, yeah, it's very similar. So they're all like, oh, I want to be part of the United States. Like, eh. No, you really don't.
Yeah, careful what you wish for.
You know, just stick with being unhappy up there because we got our own problems. You don't need to be a part of it.
Well, happy World Series Day, Fred.
Yeah, man, I'm stoked. I'm in such a good mood. Can't wait for the game tonight. And got into the gym today.
You watching it at the Hizzy?
I don't know. I think we might go and watch it a few innings somewhere, but I'll probably watch it at home. And we talked about going to a couple places for steak night, and I'm like, no, those are no-fly zones tonight. Those places are going to be packed.
Oh, yeah.
And so if we do, we'll go to the little neighborhood bar, and if it's packed, we'll just go home. Because I like being around people for part of it, but I don't want to watch the whole game.
My wife sent me a text today, and she's trying to plan a double date. And this is with another family from my older kids' baseball team.
Okay.
I love the couple. I love hanging out with them. But it's a text conversation between my wife and this woman. And it says, how do you guys feel about getting dressed up on Friday night and going out somewhere and someplace, you know, you're going out to get a nice dinner and watch the game? And then they start discussing where we can eat. And they're like, let's get sushi. And I said, what? What respectable sushi place is going to have the ball game?
Exactly.
Like, you got to decide. Do you want to go someplace fancy,
or do you want to
watch the ball game? Because it's hard to do both. Let's be honest.
If you want to go to a nice restaurant that has a bar and you all want to sit at the bar, you can watch the games.
True,
but then that's kind of weird because you got four people.
Exactly. That makes it tough.
Yeah, it does.
Bar is more for two people.
Now, if you don't like baseball.
You go to TGI Fridays? They've got a bar.
Yeah, you can.
And
you can
bring four people. They'll probably have the game on. Yeah, and it's fine dining.
There you go. Is it fine dining?
No.
But I will tell you, if you're not an Astros fan, you don't care, this is a great night to like walk into Nancy's Hustle or someplace like that.
Oh, yeah. A place that you don't really need a reservation for.
One of those places you've been waiting to go to. This is a perfect night to do it.
Yep. I mean, get you some.
I mean, not me, because I'm going to be watching baseball. I'm pretty stoked. Jesse says, why can't we play a World Series without controversy? 2 years ago, it was Yuli making Asian faces, and now this Taubman mess.
Yeah, I'm curious your thoughts on this, because you said something to me pre-show that made me think we may have different opinions on this.
Well, let's hear yours first, because I'm going to need some room for this.
Okay. I'm a big believer in if you're a behind-the-scenes guy, stay behind the scenes. Don't give anyone a reason to put your name in the newspaper. And he gave a reason to get his name out there at the worst possible time. And I don't know what he meant by those comments exactly. I mean, it's easy to assume, but it's hard to say for certain. I mean, there's no evidence that says that's what he was intending to do, was to, like, punk these women out. But then the other question you ask is, just from a common sense standpoint, why are you yelling that at women? Like, what's the purpose? What are you trying to do if you're not trying to defend what Osuna did? What is your intended purpose? Because you're doing it after a game where he gave up the game-tying home run. So it's not like you're really lauding his performance. You can't possibly be like, he's the reason we're here, because he's clearly not. He's not the one who hit that home run. If you were like, thank God we got Altuve. Okay, I get that. But after Osuna blows the save, why are you yelling that during the post-game celebration, if not for the implied reason?
Well, I have a couple of problems with that.
Okay.
Because the implied reason is a real issue, because it's implied and it was presented as reporting.
Like I said, it's there's no way to make evidence of it.
No, but you weren't there. I wasn't there. So I don't know. Now, let me preface this with a couple of things. You know, my Mount Rushmore of things that I think people should be killed for: murder, child sexual predators for children,
I was watching some Chris Hansen today, in fact.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, basically rapists and domestic abusers. I'm always for second chances on those things. You know, those are kind of all that and people who break into people's house and steal crap. They're almost on the Mount Rushmore.
I don't like that either.
So I was against the Osuna thing from the beginning. I was very outspoken about it, as were you. The whole thing was kind of like, why? So let me just say that right off. And I don't know Brendan Taubman from anybody.
I wouldn't know if he walked in right now.
He could walk in right now and say, hey, I'm assistant general manager of the Astros. And I'd be like, yeah, sure. Go get me some coffee, intern. I have no idea who he is. Know nothing about him. Wasn't in the locker room. So I want to preface it with all that. My problem isn't so much. Now, if he intended to kind of rub it specifically in their noses that, you know, hey, he went out and he was probably the guy who made this happen to get him. And I'm sure there were people there who wrote some things about it, like we've said things about it. And if his intent was to kind of rub it in their face, okay, that's a turd move.
Right.
Is it a fireable offense? No, it's not even. I mean, maybe, certainly an apology. But if it's just, that's my bleeping guy, when you're celebrating and you're drunk afterwards, and 412,
thanks.
Then I don't know what the story is. And
did that sound different? Is it this microphone or what?
I don't know. It had kind of a, it sort of had almost like it was
like an alien-esque sound.
Well, it was almost like it was in stereo. It was going from one ear to the other.
It was strong.
But anyway, thanks for ruining my point. But no, I think it again, without knowing the context of what happened, listen, if you're just upset because he used F-bombs in the locker room, oh my God.
Yeah, you can't be mad about that.
How many, you and I both have been in locker rooms, and I've been accosted and called all kinds of things for stuff I've written. And the first thing you do is you work it out with the team. It was never public. And will never be public. I mean, I've been yelled at by all kinds of people. And it's like, okay, let's talk it out. And especially when somebody's been drinking like that. But to take it to the next step, here's my issue with the whole situation and why it's even a story. You know, I always talk about in journalism how we've screwed up by blurring the lines between reporting and a column.
Yeah.
What she wrote was a column. And Sports Illustrated, which, by the way, just got purchased and is on its way to being the next Deadspin, the comment was, we stand behind the reporting. If you were really reporting this incident, and this is a J-School basic and I'm not going to give the writer's name, but if she's listening, this is a basic that you should have done, and maybe I am too old school. The first thing, and they did do the right thing by contacting the Astros to get comment from them. Astros refused to comment.
Okay.
They didn't comment until after the story came out. That, to me, is on the Astros.
They had their chance.
They did. That's on the Astros. They should have said, hey, wait a minute, that's not what happened. And they would have quoted them on it, and that would have at least given their side of it. So I applaud them for that. But you're talking about, oh, there were three female reporters. Okay, who were the other two? Get corroborating quotes. If you're going to make this appear,
one of them became emotional. Tell me which one.
Well, and somebody came on Twitter and said, yeah, that happened. I was there. Well, quote them. Put them in there. If you're going to imply that this is because of domestic violence, which she clearly did when she mentioned the purple wristband, which, by the way, I have not talked to a single man today who knows what the hell the purple wristband is.
I don't know what a purple wristband is.
None of us do, right?
No.
Okay, so, and this doesn't mean that she's not telling the truth, or that she's even wrong for writing it, but it means the reporting was so shoddy and presented in a column form that this is why people don't trust reporters. And if she had quoted whoever was there, and I saw some Chronicle guy who I've never heard of either respond to, oh, I was there and I should have said something at the time. Well, no, you're kind of stupid. I'm sorry. The I should have said something at the time guy is just trying to glom on and get attention. In my opinion, if you're going to write a column, write a column. If you're going to do reporting, do reporting. But when you try to combine the two and make it, she made it look like it was because he was supporting domestic violence. And maybe he's wandering around with a sign saying, yay, domestic violence.
Right.
I'm Team DV. Woo! If that's the case, yes, rip into him.
Mark that tape, by the way.
Yeah. But
next time we have a story like this, yeah. I just want Fred ranting about how much he loves it.
No, but so, I mean, honestly, I don't know what the guy's intention was. And I don't know what the context was because I wasn't there. But I do know that if you're going to write something like that, write it responsibly. And if you're going to make a story out of it, be responsible. I want to know who the other people were. I want quotes from them backing up your story, not just, oh, they were there. And then somebody comes on Twitter later and says, yes, that's what happened. No, that's not what the story said. And the story definitely implied that it was because of domestic violence. And if that's the case, and if she is right, and I'm not saying she isn't, I just think she handled it poorly. But he obviously handled it poorly, too. There's blame on both sides here.
There's good and bad people on both sides.
But I do think if she had done those things in the story, it makes it a lot more
Well, you're looking at viable. It from the journalism standpoint.
Well, absolutely. I mean, but I think it's 20 also, years of my life doing that. Right. I can't help but not do it.
But there's also something to be said for looking at it from just the humanity standpoint. And if this guy was yelling that, you're a smart enough guy to deduce why.
Well, no, not necessarily. I don't know the context. And I mean, I think you're making the same assumption she did. Yeah, because based on what you read.
What could the other reason be?
He might have just been saying, that's my bleeping guy. The guy was out. They're all celebrating. You've been in these celebration locker rooms.
But why is he the guy? Why is he your guy?
I have no idea.
He just gave up the game damn near.
He also, we talked about this yesterday. I think people are being a little hard on him. I think LeMahieu came up with a huge hit. He got two monster outs after that. They don't win the game without that. So, I mean, I don't know. I wasn't there and neither were you, but you're inferring what she's inferring. And that's the thing. We're going on her word. That's what you're doing. And that's my problem is she may be right, but she needed to finish it. She needed to back up those claims with people saying, yeah, it was pretty obvious that's what he was talking about. Not just, oh, there was a purple wristband. That's all. Do a better job. And then I'll believe you.
All right.
Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz.
On ESPN 97.5.
All right, guys, got to tell you about my friends over at TGS Insurance. And if you own your home, you really need to hear this because you can save some big time money on your homeowner's insurance. And you might not know how much you're even paying for homeowner's insurance. Hell, I didn't know how much I was paying. But then you call TGS. Well, you text TGS because that's how simple it is. You don't have to talk to a person. That's the best. And you text the word money to 232323. They're going to ask for your address. You reply back. You'll get a full quote with excellent coverage within 15 seconds. And you're going to save money. I saved over $1,000. The average customer is saving over $870 this year. And you don't need to wait for your renewal. They'll take care of all the back end, all the hassle with your other guys. So if you're locked in, you're not really locked in. They got you covered. TGS is, they're saving people money. And it's a, like I said, it's a fast, reliable process with very little hassle. One more time, text the word money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote. Start saving today with TGS Insurance.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. All right, two more things and I'm shutting up about this. And somebody asked on Twitter, basically, would you say the column did its job by getting this much attention? Absolutely. I'm pretty sure that's part of it. Now, again, I'm not saying the person's name because, you know, that plays into it. But here's the real problem that Matthew tweeted me. That Chronicle guy saying he was there is the same one who was banned from the clubhouse for printing Keuchel's private conversation about fan day. Okay, this is why nobody trusts reporters. That's why if you're going to say something like that, you better tie it up in a perfect bow. And not just throw it into a column and act like it's reporting. Because this is why people don't trust reporters. And the media keeps doing this to themselves. And I've been screaming at the rooftops about this for years because I was responsible for a lot of it. And nobody listens. And when you do stuff like that, then people are going to think you have an agenda. So, yes, she might be completely right, and the guy might have actually had that as a motive, and if he did, he's a complete turd, and he deserves to be shot. But I can't trust a word she writes because she didn't do her job. Yeah. She didn't do the reporting the way you should. And that's all I have to say about that. So, and I mean, again, that's a different perspective for me because I want, you know, because I get so sick of hearing, fake news. But then you do stuff where you don't really do, you half-ass the job and you give those people ammunition. And so, I mean, I will almost always defend journalists, especially if I think they're right. But if I don't think you did your work correctly, then I'm sorry. I can't back you up. That's all. And I think and plus, I just don't know that this is even really a story unless you can prove to me that he was team domestic violence. And that was his point. And guess what? And I heard Raheel say something this morning, which was really smart. And that's why I kind of put a check mark by it, because it doesn't happen very often. Just kidding, Raheel. But he said at some point the video is going to come out. And when it does, somebody's going to look really stupid. And
wait, the video? You think there's going to be a bunch
of... How could there not be video? You saw how much video was running around that clubhouse.
Yeah, but
Somebody had to be... And I'll tell you what, this is another thing, just kind of as a...
Oh, I thought you meant like from the Astros.
No, not from the Astros. Okay. But just for... just for purposes of discussion, if this were happening, because I've seen you do it to people yelling in a meeting, as a matter of fact. If a guy starts going off, don't you start recording him on your phone?
Yes.
I mean, isn't that a basic thing? Because that's another thing. If I were her editor, I would have asked, hey, man, tell me you recorded that. And if she did, guess what? The recording's coming out.
Yeah.
So, I do think somebody had, if all these people were really that offended or thought he was that out of line, isn't somebody recording it on their phone? And if that's the case, and he comes out looking like a turd, I'll be the first one to say, wow, what a bleeping turd.
Did you see that A.J. Hinch came out and had a statement? Which is weird, you know, for the Astros to say no comment, and then A.J. Hinch come out and...
Well, the GM, who I don't even know, came out with an apology. And I think, and so did Jim Crane... I think that they were apologizing.
They're trying to put the fire out because they don't want to deal with this right now.
Well, there's no reason to deal with it right now. There's baseball to deal with. There's a world freaking series.
A.J. Hinch says, I'm very disappointed for a lot of reasons. It's unfortunate. It's uncalled for. I take everything that happens in the clubhouse to heart. No one should ever feel like when you come into our clubhouse that you're going to be uncomfortable or disrespected. I think we all need to be better across the board in the industry, which is like a blanket statement. Not necessarily taking blame.
No.
But... not necessarily acting like nothing happened either.
Well, at the bare minimum, he was dropping a bunch of F-bombs, and they didn't like it.
Yeah, but I can't imagine. I mean, like I said, I was listening to that broadcast where, you know, drunk Steve Sparks is talking to people, and you can hear cursing in the background. I mean, there's going to be cursing. It's grown men. They're going to a World Series. They're going
to
curse.
And this gets back to something that I've also said, I don't know that you need to have reporters in a locker room, especially for a celebration. And I know that MLB Network has to have their people in there, but how many times do you hear F-bombs come over TV on those things?
Yeah, it's going to happen.
So, you know, I feel like that...
If you're offended by cussing,
yeah,
maybe you should have a different job than covering teams in the clubhouse, because that's going to happen. You're going to hear curse words in there, you know?
But that's the thing. And if it was intended to be some kind of, I'm rubbing it in your face because you wrote about domestic violence, then if you'd gotten people to back you up on that, other than just, I saw the incident, that's all anybody said, then I think you're taking it to an extreme that you shouldn't be taking it to, and you should do a better job reporting. That's all. And if that had been my reporter, the first thing I would have said is, okay, who were the other people? Get some quotes. Who else saw it? Did you have video? And I mean, that's what's going to make it a story, not I'm going to use this guy yelling and turn it into it. Because I agree with their premise about winning at all costs and not and taking these domestic violence guys. I agree with that. I wouldn't have done that trade. We said it at the time.
But do you think that maybe the other people don't want to speak up because they're not looking to get denied access in the future?
Well,
because didn't it say two of them were Chronicle employees?
I don't know. I don't know that they were both Chronicle employees.
Because, well, that's what I read said that one worked for SI and two worked for the Chronicles. And maybe I'm wrong, but I think that's what I read. But if that's the case, it's a lot easier for the person who works for Sports Illustrated to step up and say something about it than the person who works for the Chronicle because, you know,
see, but, okay.
they don't have to deal with it on an everyday basis.
Well, here's one other point. And I don't, and this is why, again, it's really hard for me to trust some of what these reporters are doing. If you're not going to put your name on it, if they're not going to back you up on it because they're worried, they're not going to kick Jerome Solomon out Chandler Rome. I don't even know who's covering him now. They're not going to kick them out because of that. But here's, and don't discount this. And I'm not defending the Astros in any way because I thought they mishandled that Justin Verlander thing horribly.
Yeah.
And I said that at the time. But these guys are not going to forget that. Believe me. The baseball writers made a big deal out of it. They're not going to forget that. So they're going to be looking for stuff. And if this guy screws up, they're going to go after him and those people are going to back it up.
All right. I got to tell you about CBDMD.com, which... I am a big advocate of CBD. You guys know I've been that for a long time. And the great thing about CBDMD, if you get drug tested at work, you don't have to worry because there's no janky business going on here. This is third-party lab tested. It's a clean, safe product. They've got a 30-day money-back guarantee, and it's sourced from hemp grown here in the U.S. using organic farming methods. This is high quality stuff. CBD Freeze is like a CBD menthol sort of a roll-on, and it, for me at least, I go in and after I work out, I'm rolling that anywhere I've got any kind of discomfort, and I've been feeling fantastic. The CBD Recover is more of a topical lotion that you can rub on in those situations. They've got tons of products in just the oil. I've always used the oil. That's always been kind of my go-to. I'm a 1,500 milligram guy. I go big or go home. But they've got great prices. They price compare on their website, and you're going to save money. In fact, you're going to save even more money because our listeners get 20% off at CBDMD.com when you use the promo code ESPN975 at checkout. That's CBDMD.com, promo code ESPN975.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz and getting a lot of people saying it's a shame we have to talk about this.
Yeah, it is. You know? I mean, especially day one of the World Series. It sucks.
But we, you know what? We don't have to anymore. A couple people... saying, why don't I ever defend reporters? And I know this is only something four people cared about, but when that story broke about Justify failing a drug test, and people were coming after me for that because I said, listen, Joe Drape is one of the best reporters I know. If he's got this story, it's true. And he does his homework, and he did his homework on that story. And so, no, if somebody's right and does that, I'm going to back him 100%. Just do all the work. That's all I ask. So... Sean brings a point. It doesn't matter. The assistant should just keep his mouth shut. But, you know, guys are celebrating and drunk. I'm not saying it's okay, but I would say 90% of us have been celebrating and drunk and said something we shouldn't have.
Yeah.
Probably so. But, yeah. All right. Well, can we move on? Because I'm okay with moving on.
I don't really care.
I don't either. To me, it would spend a whole segment on a story that's not a story. Can we talk about my... greatest Astros, because I want to see whether you think I overrated or underrated some of these guys now that people have had a chance to read it.
I got to pull up the list now.
Well, I'll just give it to you. Okay. Got it here. Number 10 on my list, George Springer. And here's why. He's tied for the most postseason home runs in club history.
He's done a lot in the postseason.
He's a World Series MVP, And so, yes, he has. He didn't have the long run that Jimmy Winn or Jose Cruz or Joe Niekro had, but won a World Series, doesn't happen without him. MVP, number 10.
Yeah. It's hard to argue him being on that list. Jimmy Winn was here for how many years? 15 years?
But, I mean, winning something counts, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
And to me, it was between Jimmy Winn and number 9 on my list, Larry Durker, who also was here for 13 years. He had a 21 season, 2 All-Star appearances. Really just was the first Astros star pitcher for a long time. Number 8, and this one was, he was only here for 3 years, and this was one of the tougher ones, Roger Clemens. But he won a Cy Young, and he got him to the World Series.
Yeah, it's hard to argue that. They didn't do much when they got to the World Series.
No, they didn't do anything when they got to the World Series. Number 7?
One of the, and, you know, I'm not trying to pull down what you said about Larry Durker, but, I mean, we've talked before about Mike Scott and what he was to this team.
Also won a Cy Young. He was one of the last cuts. When we get to the end, I'll tell you the last cuts.
Okay.
Alex Bregman, number 7.
I think it's too soon to put him that high on the list.
Well,
I mean, he's been here for 3 years.
Yeah, but he finished top 5 in MVP last season. He's going to be first or second this season. And he had the moment of the 2017 World Series to drive in the winning run. I think that's an up arrow that's only going to keep going up.
I don't disagree that it'll keep going up. I just think it's a little early to put him at that high on this list.
But again, man, in the 58-year history of this team, they had guys who were here for a long time and did a lot of stuff in the regular season, never did crap
then
in the postseason.
Then it's the greatest postseason player
of all
time.
Well, no, it's not just postseason. The guy may win the MVP this year. How many have done that? How many Astros have won the MVP?
One.
Two.
Two now, yeah.
Jeff Bagwell, Altuve. Jose Altuve.
Okay.
He'll be the third guy in history to do it. And he already finished.
But he's not going to do it. What if he doesn't win the MVP? Does that weaken your entire argument?
No, it doesn't. He's going to finish second.
All right.
Now, he's sucked in the ALCS. I'd like to see him do something in this. Roy Oswalt, 6.
Hard to argue. Yeah.
I think the rest of these are pretty
long,
easy.
Long career. I mean, incredible the
entire
time.
Top 5 in the Cy Young voting 5 times.
By the way, Glenn Davis finished second in the MVP vote. Didn't make your list.
Yeah, he also didn't have
travesty.
He didn't have a year as good as Bregman's had. I mean, now to be fair, he's playing in the Astrodome.
In a
20 homer season.
He had 31 homers and 101 batted in back when that was a big deal.
That was his career year.
Yeah.
Lance Berkman, 5.
Hard to argue.
12 years, hit 326 homers, drove in over 1,000 runs, and hit 296. 5-time All-Star, 3rd in the MVP voting twice. This is where some people started disagreeing with me. Craig Biggio, 4.
I think that's the highest you could put him.
Because people forget. I have Nolan Ryan, 3rd, and here's why. He pitched for 27 years in the league, 9 years with the Astros, so a third of his career. He won 106 games. He had a 313 ERA over those 9 years. The highest it ever got was 380. He struck out 1,866 batters in 1,854 innings through one of his 7 career no-hitters, and he was a big part of the first 2 playoff teams in Astros history, led the league in ERA and strikeouts twice. Wasn't his fault that he never got any run support.
Yeah.
The year he was 8-16, he probably should have won the Cy Young. He was that good. So, Bagwell 2, and then Altuve 1. Now, the guys who didn't make it, like the hard one for me is Justin Verlander, and that's why I put a 3-year minimum on it. But I think he gets in over Durker, and maybe even Clemens. He may accomplish more than Clemens did by the end of his 3rd year.
Probably so.
And if he's here for another, I mean, if he keeps pitching at this level, he's probably top 5 for the rest of his contract and if he sticks around beyond.
I'll throw two names. Oh, go ahead and give me your other near misses.
Well, Mike Scott was next on the list. And then I mentioned a lot of other guys, like J.R. Richard was dominant, but
I was going to say, a short run of dominance, relatively.
Don Wilson was great for 9 years, and then he died. And then Winn and Cruz were the best players when they weren't very good. Joe Niekro was an underrated pitcher. He was certainly under consideration. And Joe Morgan, who we talked about a little bit yesterday, but he wasn't that great as an Astro. He hit 261 for his Astro career. He really turned into Joe Morgan when he went to the Reds. He's a good player, but he was like a better Bill Dorn during his Astros tenure. And then the other guy that I really thought long and hard about was Dallas Keuchel, because he did win a Cy Young. He was a part of the World Series team. He had some good years here. And it's just so hard with all the pitchers. They have so many great pitchers that have come through here.
Well, let me give you a name that I think is tough to leave off the list. Billy Wagner.
Wagner was the other one I mentioned. I forgot to mention him here, but
because Billy Wagner had, and granted, he played in other places later in his career.
Yeah, but here he was a terrific closer. It's just hard with closers.
He had 225 career saves with the Astros. That's as many as Brad Lidge had in his entire career. And just his Astros career would have put him 42nd all-time on the MLB saves list. As he finishes up, he ends up 6th on the all-time career list.
He was part of a lot of playoff teams.
Yeah, he's a potential Hall of Famer. And if he's a Hall of Famer, he goes in wearing an Astros hat. That's one of the guys that I would have a hard time leaving off that list, too.
So who would you bump? Because, you know, it's hard with closers. It's just like voting him in the Cy Young.
I honestly think I probably bump Bregman.
Yeah, see, I disagree with that.
Just because his sample size is so much smaller.
He's been here 4 years now.
He's been here 3.5 years.
This is his fourth season. And if you're going to put Clemens on there with 3, this guy goes on there with 4.
So his 3.5 puts him 7th, but Justin Verlander's 2.5.
Well, I told you what the criteria was. You have to be here 3 years.
Well, who made this criteria?
I did. It's my freaking list.
Well, I'm just saying. It seems like a pretty random number to throw out
there. Well, what number would you use then? 1? Because then we got to put Randy Johnson on there.
No.
You have to have some kind of standard, man.
I get it. But what I'm saying is you're valuing the 3.5 years that Bregman's been here over the, 9 years that Billy Wagner was here and was a shutdown closer?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
Especially if he wins MVP this year.
He's not going to win the MVP this year. Stop with that.
I don't know, man. I've talked to some voters. There's a lot of people who actually think he has a shot.
Okay. So, when's that announced?
It's not till after the season.
Okay.
So
I've seen some polls taken that looks like it's not even going to be close. And it probably should be closer than what I've seen it's going to be. But from what I've seen, it's not going to be close.
Well, you know where you can...
Where can I go?
Go look at what the betting odds are, because that'll tell you.
Do you have a read?
No, I don't have a read.
Oh, I thought this was a My Bookie spot.
No, that's later. That's later. Yeah. But I'm going to go...
You said, you know where you can go?
No, but I'm going to go look at the MVP odds, and that'll tell you if it's not close, then... That's where it'll be.
All right. I got to tell you about ProDunkHoops.com. And guess what I've just done today, in fact. And by the way, Mike Trout minus 140, Bregman plus 100. That's close. Closer than it was earlier.
You thought it was.
ProDunkHoops.com. I set my appointment to have my hoop installed at my place. So my kids are going to get to get out there and hoop it up. I've been making them walk down the street to the neighborhood park. Or to the neighbor's house. Well, finally, okay, I'm going to be a good dad. Maybe you can be a good dad for once in your life, guys. The quality is unbelievable. 75% thicker steel than what you can get at the big box stores. It's got a 1-inch thick backboard. So strong. It's like the backboards in a gym. Like a legit backboard. If it cracks for any reason, they got you covered. They're going to replace it for free and no rust. And when I was talking to them and setting up the thing, they were like, you know what? How old are your kids? 12 and 7. They were like... The 7-year-old's going to be able to adjust that with a turn of a handle, adjust it from 10 feet to 5 feet so he can have fun too. Get your new Hoops Gold today. They've got something for your home, whether it's a fully portable one. You want one in the driveway, the backyard, however you want it. They've got you covered. ProDunkHoops.com. That's ProDunkHoops.com. 25% off during their Halloween sale. ProDunkHoops.com. 281-351-9822.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I don't know how I could explain that in a cooler and more doper fashion.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Roberto says, please bring down to earth my Astros fan coworker who says there are five Astros right now who are already Hall of Famers. Verlander, Cole, yes.
Wait, do you mean like five on this team?
Well, I don't know if he means like right now.
Or does he mean like Biggio and Bagwell?
No, I think he means on this team. I think
the Verlander's a Hall of Famer. Jose Altuve's a Hall of Famer.
And I think Greinke's going to get, Greinke's probably
He'll get
pretty
strong
close.
Consideration.
But I don't think Cole's anywhere near it yet.
No.
And, I mean, he may be. He'll probably do it with this the Angels.
This is the best season of Cole's career by far.
Yeah.
And he's not had many that even came close to this.
In a contract year.
Yeah.
So.
Like Cole, Bregman, are those guys capable of MVP or of Hall of Fame careers? Certainly. Do they have them? Not even
yet.
Close.
No. I think at most. For sure Verlander, for sure Altuve, probably Greinke. But, I mean, the guy's been here for 3 months. So.
Right.
Yeah.
He won't be wearing an Astros hat when he gets in.
No.
Probably a Royals dome.
Yeah. He's such a weird dude. If they won the World Series, I wouldn't be shocked if he just retired.
You might.
That guy doesn't necessarily. Well, one final thing on this. We're looking on the break. On September 2. Mike Trout was minus 1,000.
That's wild.
To win MVP.
And 1 month later, he's minus
140. Alex Bregman was plus 1,000. And now Bregman's even money. Mike Trout's minus 140. So, I mean, I would say Trout's going to win. But that's close.
Yeah, that is close.
So, and then just get back to the
and it's so weird because with that, you're not betting on. You're betting on how people will vote. You're not betting on.
Right.
You know, who's most deserving.
But they don't put a line like that without a lot of research and a lot of talking to guys who vote. And honestly, the guys I've talked to, are most of them have Houston ties. So they're going to go Bregman.
Right.
But I did talk to a couple guys in L.A. while we were out there. And, you know, one they were split. One was Trout and one was Bregman. So 713-780-ESPN is your number. But just to get back to it, Verlander will be on the list if I do it next year. Period. End of discussion.
Okay.
And I'll consider Wagner a little more because I think it's Wagner versus Durker is what that one is.
Yeah. Billy Wagner's the toughest one to leave. I mean, I think Mike Scott's tough to leave off too.
Yeah, and I love Mike Scott.
But again, Mike Scott was on the Astros in the same time Jose Cruz was. When they weren't a good team.
No, but they did. He did, and when I did that list of greatest moments, he was on that for his no-hitter against the Giants, which I was at. And I love now, after all this time, there were about 30,000 people that day. I love how many people, I was at that game. It's like, sure you were. It was an afternoon game. The only reason I got to go is because I didn't have to be at work until 7 that night.
Yeah.
And what I remember most about it is, like, the first pitch of the game, he tries to throw the ball through Dan Gladden and hits him in the back. And then after that, it was just, it's the most amazing thing I've ever seen in person because I was on the first base side, and you could see that split finger drop 3 feet every time he threw it. And it was just amazing, and I loved Mike Scott. Pretty short, though. His success, his run of success was only a couple of years.
Yeah, his run of greatness was only a couple of years.
Right, and frankly, that's Garrett. He's Garrett Cole right now.
Right.
And
that's the one thing you have to give Billy Wagner is that he had sustained.
He was good for a long time.
Yeah.
And boy, there was that time where
Jose Cruz was that guy because when I was a kid, it seemed like Jose Cruz was, if you were, you know, 7, 8 years old, Jose Cruz was the best player in baseball because he was the best player on the team that you always watched. And when you're an adult, and you go and you look up Jose Cruz's stats.
Yeah.
You realize that Jose Cruz was, I mean, he was good. But, Mike Trout's hit more home runs in the last 4 years than Jose Cruz did in his, you know, 19-year career. So it's, you kind of, it puts it in perspective a little bit.
Striker says, I feel like a guy with 3 years makes a team's all-time top 10. You have a real crap history. The
Astros do have a real crap history.
Go look at their history. It was 36 years before they won 100 games. And I grew up with all this stuff. There was, honestly, those early days where Enos Cabell was their best player at one point. And it was so bad, they had a promotion to get fans in that which basically, if the light was on and somebody hit a home run, it was free beer for an inning, which I think was one of the greatest promotions ever. Although, of course, I was a child, so I didn't get to partake. But, yeah, they were bad for a long, long time. And then in the 80s, they kind of got – that's when they had Ryan and Scott. And well, early on, it was Ryan and Don Sutton and those guys. Yeah. And then the 86 team was Ryan and Scott and Bob Knepper, and they had a really good pitching staff. But they never had hitters. I mean, you were talking about Glenn Davis.
Glenn Davis was like their big, they yeah, called was, him the big bopper.
Yeah, and again, go look at his numbers. He had one really
good year. He hit 30 home runs once.
Yeah, and that's...
Jose, you know the most home run, most, the career season for home runs for Jose Cruz? You want to take a guess?
I'm going to say 12.
17.
Oh, okay.
Seven, and this is how crazy, so Jose Cruz in 1980 finished third in MVP voting. He hit 302, had 11 home runs, and 91 runs batted in. Isn't that wild?
Mm.
That was third in the MVP voting.
And I get that it was a different era. And they were playing in the Dome, which... But then once Bagwell and those guys came up and started hitting homers in the Dome, that kind of... Well, of course, maybe there was help.
Maybe.
Yeah, Glenn Davis hit 30 homers three times. 27 one year and then 22. He drove in 100 runs one time. And he never hit over 271.
Yeah.
So he was kind of a Dave Kingman type.
Yep.
So, and yeah, Randy Pulsar, I wish there was more love for Glenn Davis. But that's the thing. You go look at it.
Yeah. I mean, Glenn Davis was good for when he was here.
And listen, a lot of what I used was how many all-star appearances and things like that, where they came in on MVP and Cy Young voting. Because frankly, that is a comparison to the rest of the league at the time. As opposed to... Well, he was just the best Astro.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's why, you know, Bregman even finishing second this year compared to other Astros is already going to have accomplished more than those guys. And then, and yes, I waited the postseason. It wasn't just a postseason list because, you know, there's some other guys on it, but they accomplished something that those guys didn't. So.
But another guy, and, you know, if I'm not saying you should put him on the list because if Billy Wagner's not there, he shouldn't be. But Dave Smith.
And Dave Smith's a guy who, that's the thing. If you're going to take a closer, you take Billy Wagner.
But Dave Smith, 11 years with the Astros, 2.53 ERA. That's unbelievable.
And that, like, he was so good until that 86 series.
But, I mean, how many times did he break? He broke 30 saves once in his career. And again, mind you, for the most part, he was on bad teams. When he wasn't on a bad team, like 86, 33 saves. But spent a lot of time on pretty bad teams.
Plus, he was just a cool dude.
And I didn't know him like that.
Well. But, yeah, you know, it's funny because...
That's crazy. In 11 years with the Astros, had an ERA higher than 3 in 2 of those seasons. That's a pretty long run of sustained greatness.
Yeah, but again, as much as you kind of got to give the hitters a little more credit, that Astrodome was a really good equalizer. But man, I did a bunch of research on it. And most of these guys I saw play. The guys that I didn't, Joe Morgan was before my time. Really, most of Durker's career was before my time. And... You know, some of the old school guys. Jimmy Winn, I kind of came along at the end of Jimmy Winn. Jose Cruz was the guy when I was growing up.
Yeah.
And he was always my favorite Astro because he was by far the best Astro, but he was the only guy on the damn roster.
All right, let's talk about Anna, who back in May was working at Walmart, and she heard a commercial that really changed her life. And she had no IT experience at all, but she still said, you know what, I'm going for it. She enrolled at My Computer Career. 4 months later, she started her IT career. And guess what? She got hired by another My Computer Career graduate. Don't be afraid of the future. Be a part of it. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation today, and you could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. No computer experience or training? No problem. Helping people start an IT career, that is what they do. You'll attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week, and you're going to get everything you need. And then it's more than a school because they help you get into the industry by working with hundreds of employers that hire their students. They're nationally accredited, Financial aid's available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill for my fellow vets. Classes are starting up soon. Go take that free career evaluation now. MyComputerCareer.edu. It's not rocket science, guys. It's My Computer Career. MyComputerCareer.edu. Just need a bit of luck.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.